everybody. Welcome. This is Magic the Amateuring. It's a podcast.
It's the only magic podcast that was the result of an ancient evil curse.
That's true.
Maria and I were cursed by Ben 1,000 years ago.
To wake up in 2014.
Yep.
Wait, 2013.
And learn how to play magic.
Yep.
We were just tending our... We were shepherds.
Yeah, in a valley.
In a valley, peaceful valley.
Yep.
Living our lives frozen in ice.
On the British Isles.
By Ben. Yep.
And I was an ancient warlock who saw potential in them.
And saved us. And why did you choose 2013? Just side note.
Oh, I wanted the game to progress enough that it'd be ready for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, Magic's doing pretty well
right now.
Yeah. Although I have to say, we missed Innistrad, which everyone says.
Yeah,
really
that I feel like it's an oversight.
Okay, look. My ancient warlock spells do not have the kind of resolution that modern warlock spells have.
Gotcha. So you didn't know that Innistrad was going to be the year before we woke up.
No, I thought it was going to be 2 years later.
Yeah.
It's okay, Ben. Everybody's warlock skills they have holes sometimes.
It happens to most men.
Exactly.
Look, what we're trying to say is Megan and I learned how to play Magic a year and a half ago by our friend Ben. Now we're addicted and we're bringing this show to you. On this week's episode, we're going to talk about Journey into Nyx, which the pre-release was just this past weekend. We had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about some of the new mechanics and interesting cards in there with the assistance of our good friend Judge Rob.
Yay!
J-Ro's coming over?
J-Ro's coming over.
Sick!
And we're also going to talk about the upcoming GP here in Minneapolis.
There's a GP?
Yes.
GP Mini?
GP Mini.
There's a Grand Prix at my house?
Well, it's not going to be held here, Ben, but there are going to be parties here late into the night. I didn't tell you. I invite everybody over to your house.
Oh.
I know that you've been really secretive about your phone number and those clues, but Maria and I just put your address on the internet.
Your address is now on the internet.
Oh.
Associated with your name, your full name.
Cool.
NBD, man. NBD.
Well, Judge Rob, thank you so much for joining us again and telling us some cool rule stuff.
Welcome back, Judge Rob.
Thank you. Always, always good to be on the show.
So, Judge Rob, you are a level 3 DCI judge.
Yes.
Whoa.
Listeners to the podcast will know this. This means you know all the rules.
Well.
And the pools.
Well, most of the rules. Some of the rules.
He knows everybody's mana pools.
Yeah.
Mana pools. Mana pools.
Yes. Pools, indoor pools, hot tubs.
Whirlpools?
Yes.
Judge Rob, can we go in your hot tub?
I don't own a hot tub because I know better.
That's
see?
Fair.
He knows those pools.
Okay, what are your initial thoughts, Judge Rab, on Journey into Nyx, just overall impressions after playing with it a little and seeing all the cards?
Yeah, can you tell us how many events have you played so far?
So far, I just played in a two-headed giant yesterday.
Okay. Awesome, awesome.
I would have played in more, but I had my wisdom teeth out on Friday, and so I decided that my limit was about one event.
That's fair.
Everybody, you are listening to a man who has got some drugs running through his face.
What a coincidence. I just had wisdom teeth put in this weekend.
Did you?
I had more wisdom teeth put in, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you steal my wisdom teeth?
You know.
I mean, did they give them to you after they took them out?
I don't remember anything on Friday.
Yep.
Well,
I do feel slightly more qualified to give rulings on other people's magic games.
Do you know somebody sold or bought one of John Lennon's wisdom teeth?
That's weird.
That's... Is that even true?
Yes, in Canada. And they want to clone him from his tooth.
So, you guys, magic.
Anyway.
John Lennon is indeed magic.
Yes. Please answer the question now that I give you an opportunity.
So I really, really enjoy Journey into Nyx. I'm super excited about Constellation.
Okay.
Constellation is something that I've been looking forward to. Because
you knew it was coming?
Well, I was looking forward to something that rewarded me for playing enchantments.
Okay.
Right.
Like, I was actually super frustrated. I have an all-enchantment CDH deck that only plays lands and enchantments.
All enchantments?
And it just wasn't worthwhile to even play any cards so far in this block, hardly. Like, I would play...
Oh, yeah.
I'd play, like, stuff. I don't even remember. Because there are some cards, but
The bestow creatures get a little worse when they're your only creatures.
Yeah. it's nice to have one creature because I have been beaten by Telemann Performance before, but...
By what? What now? What?
Telemann Performance. Target player reveals cards off of their library into the reveal creature card, and you put it onto the battlefield, and all the other ones go into their graveyard.
So it just kind of mills you if you
It just instantly kills you.
Yeah.
And so I have been beaten by a Telemann Performance before, but there just actually weren't a lot of enchantment creatures that were super valuable in a super, super enchantment heavy deck.
Mm-hmm.
And especially considering the goal of the deck is to blank a lot of their removal. And so,
yeah, gotcha.
And so now there are actually guys that reward me for playing a bunch of enchantments like Doomwake Giant and...
Nice.
Whitewater Naiads.
Yeah, Whitewater Naiads is really good. Yes. And the gods in this set are actually, I feel, a little less creature-centric than the last set of gods. Okay, so when you look at, like, Kruphix and Keranos, they don't actually require you to play creatures, whereas all the creatures from Born of the Gods were like, you should be playing a lot of guys. Really, we want you to be playing creatures. And so I'm just excited about the deeper variety
that's
been added for a lot of it.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people seem very excited by Journey into Nyx, and having played in some pre-release events this weekend, I agree. I thought it was extremely fun. I really liked it compared to Born of the Gods and Theros.
Yeah, I agree. I felt like it was a nice change from the last set. It was sort of like things had kind of gotten in a rut. Everyone knew what was going on with Born of the Gods.
Just draft your red, white, and shut up.
Exactly.
Or blue X.
Yeah, exactly.
Blue, white.
And then Journey into Nyx comes along, and it's like, oh, there were definitely some very different decks that we've seen over the weekend.
Yes.
That's pretty sweet.
What were some of the decks you guys saw? Tell me more.
Well, let's see. Today we saw a blue red deck that did a lot of like scrying. It had that 2/3 Chimera.
Did
thing.
It win?
No. But that's because
they were playing us.
And then I played Scourge of the Fleets and I bounced everything.
Every last one of their creatures.
Everything
it was so
that they
great. But what Megan said to yesterday, you were playing a controlling deck.
Yeah, yesterday I played blue-black control.
And just the fact that you played blue-black control and that you
and
went 4-0, I think that is a good sign.
Exactly, and it felt like the control, at least to me yesterday, felt a lot more stable than control has felt for the past however many months we've been playing BNG.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like you finally got that fourth tire put on the minivan.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why I was driving that car with three tires.
Because it's a carsicle. It's a carsicle.
Yeah, thank you.
I want a proof of concept that I can have a tricycle car.
That's a thing, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's nice. It's been pretty different.
Cool.
So how are you feeling? How are you feeling about some other mechanics, Judge Rob?
I am a huge, huge fan of Strive.
Yeah.
Strive is super fun and super weird, and like it's basically just Fireball. Just
isn't
strapped
it
into
much like Overload?
Yeah, it's really, really similar to Overload or Multi-Kicker.
Okay.
It's in that same family of you get to pay a bunch more to multiply the effect kind of things. The difference is that it's a single spell targeting, so the Strive spell can be countered by a single counter spell.
Yeah.
As opposed to Replicate, which was in the original Ravnica block, which it's also really similar to.
Okay.
And so, like, it's in that same family of just do all the things for some additional mana.
Yeah.
I got the mana. Can I do the things?
Yes.
Yes.
Yay.
You may do the things.
I was a huge fan of Strive yesterday and two-headed giant. As I mentioned that I played, because you could target your partner's stuff with Strive, which was not always the optimal choice previously in Born of the Gods and Journey into Nyx, because you get like one random target for heroic, and you're like, oh, I don't want to waste my heroic target on my teammate's
partners,
thing.
Yeah.
But when you're like, launch the fleet, okay, well, my partner's going to get a bunch of tokens now too, and I'm going to get a bunch of tokens, and it's great.
Everybody gets tokens.
I have a question about Strive. This is something that I've found that I quite like it as well. But I was really worried when I saw it that it was just going to be a mechanic that should be named Blowout, because if your opponent casts against you, there's nothing you can do, and there was kind of no way for you to plan for it either. Like, for instance, they get flying, and you're like, oh, well, okay, now I'm dead. Yeah. And so that was my concern about it. But maybe it, maybe I'm just thinking about it because, like, any card type.
Well, I mean, some of them are definitely blowouts. The flying one is a blowout. The all of your guys get the ability to fight is a really huge blowout.
That's the green one, right?
Yeah, the green rare. Most of the rare ones are actually just really big blowouts. The launch the fleets is just double your creatures, and the red one is take all of their permanents and kill them.
Yeah. And there's like a double strike one.
Yeah, Ajani's. Oh no, Ajani's protection is the indestructible one. And so, like, a lot of them are really big blowouts. The flip side is because they're so valuable and such big blowouts, they're high picks in your first pack, and then, you know, they give you something to draft around, basically. Okay. They give you a guidepost where you're like, I really want to play white so that I can, you know, so that I can make all my guys indestructible. Some of them also have very high strive costs for their additional. When you look at...
Like the aerial... Is it aerial maneuver?
Aerial formation?
Aerial formation is one blue for the first one, but like two and a blue for each of the additionals.
Yeah.
Which is like... Yeah, so you're not going to be able to do it... You're not going to be able to give a ton of things flying.
Yeah, most of them it seems like you're spending about seven before you can target three creatures.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's kind of another... In this format, yet another mana sink... where like you've got stuff like Monstrosity and Bestow, you just have a lot of places to spend all this extra mana, and so I think sometimes it's gonna give you a way to, you know, draw it off your deck and be like boom 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 boom.
Most of them are five plus. What is it? I think that the indestructible one is Johnny's something.
Presence.
Johnny's presence is probably the cheapest, where it's single white and two for each additional
launch
target.
Launch the fleet is the very cheapest.
The flip side is launch the fleet requires you to actually commit a bunch of guys to an attack before it's worthwhile. So oftentimes you're going to make some big sketchy attack in order to get like four or five extra guys.
Is there anything people should know about Strive that might be a little tricky?
Rules-wise.
What Strive is... it does two things. It lets you pick an arbitrary number of targets, similar to how Fireball worked, where it was pick any number of targets.
Okay.
And then it changed the cost. It doesn't change the converted mana cost. No, converted mana cost is always based on what's actually printed in the upper right.
So on a Johnny's Presence, it says it costs one white mana, and so it'll always cost one white mana, no matter how much you're actually paying.
Well, it's converted mana cost is one white mana. So if you have So if you have something that says counter target spell with a converted mana cost three or less, then that would be able to counter Ajani's Presence no matter how much you strive.
Striven?
To what degree you have striven.
Yes.
You be striven?
I be striven.
The flip side is it does increase the cost of the spell. So you are paying it as part of the spell. So when you look at, have you seen the card Battlefield Thaumaturge yet?
Yes. I had that card in my pre-release deck.
He is super sweet. Battlefield Thaumaturge says, each instant and sorcery spell you cast costs one colorless less to cast for each creature it targets. And so it actually reduces the cost of your Strive back down again. Yeah. So when you look at that Ajani's Presence, you can Ajani's Presence say three creatures and you would pay white, and two colorless.
Or for example, so Ajani's Presence costs one white, Strive cost is white plus two colorless. Yeah, I had these actually in the pre-release and I played both of them, or I had the Thaumaturge out. And I played a Johnny's Presence on two creatures, and so it only costs two white mana, because it reduced.
Yeah, exactly.
It reduced the casting cost.
It reduced the two colorless off of there
by two, even though like the base cost is only one white.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it can only reduce colorless mana symbols, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And Battlefield Thaumaturge actually really like. I think he's the most interesting card in the set. If you look at, say, what's the name of it? The Sea God's Revenge.
Yes.
When you look at Sea God's Revenge, he reduces the cost of your Sea God's Revenge.
Oh,
you target three things.
Sea God's Revenge.
You can play him on two, and then on three, you can pay a total of three mana for your Sea God's Revenge.
Holy gross.
It has three targets.
No.
Three targets, and so he reduces it by three mana, and it's just the biggest blowout.
This card was so nutty in my deck, because I had even like Voyages In, it's like, well, now Voyages In costs one.
Yeah, single blue.
Oh, gosh.
Because it has a single target.
Oh, gross. howdy!
Yeah, he's...
Is he a rare, at least?
Yes, he is a rare. Oh, and God. He's heroic. So he has a heroic trigger of whenever he's the target of a spell or ability, he gains hexproof, or a target of a spell you cast.
Yeah.
He gains hexproof until end of turn.
Oh, well, then he's easy to deal with. Sheesh.
Yeah, so you get to counter your opponent's spells
hashtag
for random.
Sarcasm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad I ran out of spells because I cast them all the next turn.
It's true.
For $2. Wow. Okay, cool.
So,
Strive.
Yeah, Strive. Strive is super fun. Just be aware that it's like because it's all part of the single spell. A cancel or a dissolve will counter that that whole Strive effect,
okay,
which is the flip side of the blow. Is sometimes that you'll be willing to blow them out and they'll just build as no sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That card just dies to dissipate.
Or I'll be, I'm gonna have so many stymie hopes.
Yeah.
Be like, you wanna pay seven? You wanna pay seven?
Yep.
Bad idea.
Launch the Fleet, also super cool with Battlefield Thaumaturge.
Yes, because you just pay.
You pay
white,
one white for as
and
many
then target
targets
all your
as you
guys.
Want. Boop, boop, doop, doop,
doop, doop, doop. Oh, God. Oh,
we've
God.
Got some familiar returning mechanics, of course. Monstrosity's back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Bestow.
Where have you been? Where you been, Monstrous?
Yeah, man.
Bestow is back, too. Did you want to say something about Monstrosity?
I wanted to just mention Monstrosity is basically exactly the same as it was in Theros. It took a set off. What we don't have coming back
is... Oh, I forgot that. It wasn't even in Born of the Gods.
It wasn't in Born of the Gods. Instead,
it took some time to, backpack around Europe.
Oh, a gap
and
year.
And it let that thing where you make the decisions...
It let Tribute.
It let Tribute, cover for it for a little while.
Yeah.
Note, Judge Rob is on painkillers due to his wisdom teeth.
Yes.
FYI.
This decision maker thing.
Yes, the decision maker thing.
It's like
the mechanic.
Look,
tribute.
I'm going to be out of the country for a while. You put counters on things while I'm gone.
And tribute is.
And then he got back, and they're like, "What have you done?"
Yes, tribute is unfortunately not back. So tribute was just in Born of the Gods.
I really
and it's not
liked
Journey
tribute.
Next. Tribute was very fun. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
We'll still see tribute, guys.
But
try
every three times.
Don't be sad.
The monstrosity coming back. There is another monstrosity X, as we actually chatted a little about.
Yes.
Before the show, we have
Hydra
Broodmaster. One note on Hydra Broodmaster. Hydra Broodmaster has X a whole bunch of times, and anytime that you see an X on a card, all the X's are the same. So when you look at Hydra Broodmaster, it's green XX Monstrosity X. When it becomes monstrous, put XXX green Hydra creature tokens onto the battlefield,
which is
a lot of X's. But it comes down to is you just make them all the same number. So if you Monstrosity it for green 2/2, so then you've paid an X of 2, then you're going to put 2 2/2s on the battlefield.
Okay. And if I had enough mana, I could make 3/3/3s?
Yes, or 4/4/4s or...
But that would cost 3/3 green, which would be 7 mana total.
Yes.
Which is a little awkward.
Not impossible.
Not impossible, but a little difficult.
This seems like the place when you've got that Karametra's Acolyte and you've got a whole bunch of devotion. Like, this is where I want to be spending my mana.
That's what I want to be spending mana on.
Or a giant Nykthos activation.
Like, no offense, Pelucranos, but...
You're so
I got a new best friend.
Here in step, I'm going to make just a pile of Hydras.
Hydra pile.
Yes.
Just like a murder of crows. It's a pile of Hydras.
Yes.
A gaggle of geese. Well, a pile of Hydras.
I thought it was a hail of Hydras.
Oh, up top. That was a good one.
Guys, Judge Rob just whispered into my ear.
You don't know how many times I just think I want to walk up to somebody and be like, hail Hydra. Right in their ear. Just see what they do.
So the Bestow, as we mentioned, has come back, and it's something I like to call Evil Bestow. So a lot of these Bestow creatures have drawbacks now.
Yeah, Bestow Bestow is back, but there's not that many, and it's not a common, right?
Yeah.
Overall, it's going to be less seen.
Yeah, a little less prevalent. Mm. And when you look at cards like, what is the name of this silly Minotaur?
Just because there's a lot more creatures that are just enchantment creatures, but they have no Bestow.
Yes.
Yeah,
for instance,
they have
Whitewater Naiads.
Constellation.
Yeah. Constellation.
Yeah, which
we'll
talk about in a second because I really like Constellation. So, when you look at Gnarled Scarhide, he's a 2/1 for a single black. Bestow of Blackened 3 and Gnarled Scarhide can't block. And when you bestow him, enchanted creature gets +2/+1 and can't block.
Yeah.
So he, oftentimes you'll be bestowing him on your opponent's creatures that they can't block you.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
nice.
I don't know, oftentimes. Yeah. Like,
you
but,
could.
Yeah, you could.
You very well
could. And so there's actually one uncommon in each color that has a drawback.
Yeah.
That you bestow on your opponent's creatures. And they, I think they're all priced reasonably aggressively. Like, Gnarled Scarhide's a fine guy. He's a 2/1 for two, or 2/1 for single black, which is a perfectly acceptable creature. And, I mean, sometimes you want to bestow on your guys to attack, sometimes you want to bestow on there so that you can get through.
Yeah, ma'am.
And so, I think this is really interesting. I've actually been waiting for bestow creatures with drawbacks. I thought that was something they could have done and didn't.
Me too.
Well, man, you guys just trot on over to Wizards.
I thought for sure they would make one that would give a creature Defender or something like that.
Which,
the green one is must block.
Yeah, the green one's must block.
But when you're bestowing a 4/1,
that's not Defender.
No, I agree.
No, we got hit with that card today. It certainly was not Defender.
We did have Herald of Torment, which had like a small drawback in bestow, but now we get some real factual drawbacks. So bestow responsibly, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bestow, for instance. You need to bestow, then drink a glass of water, wait an hour and bestow again.
When you bestow, it affects everyone in the game.
Ben, we brought you here today not to record a show, but to talk about your bestow habits are hurting us in the following ways.
Oh, we're having a bestow revention? Is that what's going on here?
Yes.
Look, if I want to bestow 2 Nautiluses on your creature, that's my business.
Constellation is a mechanic that a lot of people have been waiting for. I know I've been waiting for it. That just rewards you for playing enchantments. Whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, including the thing with Constellation, because it's only on enchantments, you're going to get some kind of effect. And they range from the super powerful Doomwake Giant that gives all of your opponent's creatures -1/-1 whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under your control.
At first I was like, who cares? But then I saw that card today and I was like, I care.
He's a being. Like,
I care.
Yeah. And because they reward you for just playing a whole bunch of enchantments, sometimes a whole bunch in the same turn, like Doomwake Giant, if you can play 3 enchantments in a turn, oftentimes just wraths their side and lets you get in for however much damage you want.
Oh, yeah. Or kills all of Elspeth's little soldier friends.
Oh, yeah. He's really good at killing Elspeth's soldier tokens. But the most of the individual constellation cards have really small incremental effects.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like gain a life or
make a new friend.
Yeah, make a new friend. And this is because you're going to be triggering them a lot, and because it doesn't trigger on cast. If you look back at old Enchantment Matters cards like Verduin Enchantress, they cared about you casting enchantments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these care about them entering the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you play a card like Open the Vaults or Second Sunrise, which is part of the Eggs deck in Modern.
Or Skybind.
Oh, Skybind, yep. They put the enchantments directly onto the battlefield, which will trigger Constellation. And so you can actually have multiple Constellation cards coming out at the same time and all triggering each other at the same time.
Nice.
Note that if you have 2 Constellation things entering the battlefield at the same time, like you cast Open the Vaults, and you get back 2 things with Constellation, they will see each other and trigger each other and generate each other's effects.
Hey, I feel like I've seen you somewhere before.
Oh, yeah, are you a Constellation card?
I am a Constellation card.
Oh, my God, me
card. Too. Oh, my goodness.
Did you have Mr. Johnson
for
Constellation
for everybody. Yes.
Guys, I've been -1/-1 twice.
Who are you?
I'm a soldier token.
I'm sorry, buddy. I'm really sorry. It's rough.
It's real rough. Yeah, Constellation is especially rough in Two-Headed Giant tournaments.
Mm-hmm. We had that.
Why is that?
What's the 1/4 who drains you when for Constellation?
Mm-hmm.
It's black card. It costs 1/2.
Grim Guardian.
Grim Guardian.
Yes.
Oof, you guys,
that was really good.
Yeah, we lost so much life to Grim Guardians today.
The other one that's really, really good in Two-Headed Giant is multicolored one.
Multicolored Constellation.
Which one's
Underworld Coinsmith.
It's Constellation to gain a life, a small incremental effect, but it's black, white, and pay a life to make each opponent lose a life.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's
in
better.
Two-headed, you pay 1 life to make your opponents lose
Yes.
One each, which is two and two-headed, which is pretty great.
I did play against somebody at the pre-release, not two-headed giant, who played an underworld coinsmith, yep. and then just killed himself with it out of spite.
That's unnecessary.
It was kind of funny.
The art on underworld coinsmith looks like he's swiping a credit card.
Yeah, why do you think Theros is in credit cards?
Is that what the whole gods thing is about? They're in, like, massive debt?
Yeah. That's Elspeth is actually a giant debt collector.
Oh. Creating a world is not cheap.
I would vote that the gods are actually the 1%.
I could see that.
Crucifix is the 0.5%.
True yeah. story.
He's got more arms than most people have houses.
Yes.
That's
probably true of most people with arms.
Yeah,
though.
Most.
Thank you.
Logic bomb. Judge Rob.
So, since we were wandering over to talk about Crucifix anyways, Crucifix, God of Horizons, is arguably the neatest god out of the new set of gods.
And definitely the weirdest.
He's
pretty
handy.
We voted
pretty
him
the
most likely to... You do not want him to date your sister. Number one.
Well, he probably is a little grabby, so...
He seems old. He seems old for my sister, too.
So, Crucifix, God of Horizons, has the normal... he's indestructible. If your devotion is too low, he isn't a creature. Mm-hmm. But he has two abilities. You have no maximum hand size.
Which is
pretty good. I made use of that today in EDH, actually.
Nice.
Oh.
And if unused mana would empty from your mana pool, that mana becomes colorless instead. This is strange. There hasn't been an ability quite like this before.
No.
Mm-hmm.
He replaces mana leaving your mana pool with it becoming something else.
That is weird.
Okay.
It is very strange. It doesn't change the quality of the mana. It's still the same mana. It just becomes colorless.
Okay.
Which means you do have to, if you have a card like Cavern of Souls, that has a restriction on how you can spend the mana.
Yeah.
Because like if you have a Cavern of Souls on Merfolk and you tap it for blue, and then you don't spend it, it's the same mana.
Okay.
It's just now colorless.
So it's like if someone took your dollar bills and changed them into coins.
But that mana would have to be spent on, if it was a Cavern of Souls Merfolk mana, it would have to be colorless but spent on a Merfolk.
Yes.
Weird.
Yes.
I'm going to need a spreadsheet.
Yeah. Or you could just actually spend your Cavern of Souls mana right
yes.
away, which
yes.
is a lot more likely.
Please don't do that.
Did I tap this Cavern of Souls for blue and to cast a Merfolk when I wasn't going to?
Well, because you want to hang the mana for a couple turns, because...
Oh, yeah. I might be casting a lot of Merfolk later.
Yeah. Or you could be playing Cavern of Souls on God and then try to make gods uncounterable. And...
Oh.
Yeah.
Now we're getting crazy.
Because maybe you want to play a second Crucifix.
Oh, totally.
So that your first one can go away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might want to play one of the other gods that are interesting. Karnos is also very interesting in this set.
Oh, yeah.
He becomes a lightning bolt.
Well, or a card draw.
Or he becomes a card draw.
Karnos is the normal god. Doesn't turn on until devotion. And then he has a triggered ability. He has something that changes the way that you draw cards, which can generate a triggered ability. Reveal the first card you draw on each of your turns.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you reveal a land card this way, draw a card. Whenever you reveal a non-land card, Karnos deals 3 damage to target creature or player. So he just rewards you for, you know, doing what you do anyways, which is draw either lands or non-lands.
Nice.
Yeah.
And...
Seems like I'm always doing that.
Yeah.
Every turn I either draw a land or a non-land.
I know, girlfriend.
God.
Tell me about it.
It's the worst.
It's like, what,
and
you know? It's always one of the two.
Karnos does target when he triggers, so you do get to, you do pick a target for the damage.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good at shooting planeswalkers.
Ooh.
Because he's just
free
lightning bolts on your upkeep, or on your draw step, I should say.
Mm.
Very nice.
Note that because he only looks at the first card that you draw each turn, I've seen a couple people make this mistake. They're like, if I see lands, do I just keep drawing cards? No. He only looks at the first card that you draw each turn, so he doesn't chain down. So just be aware. I mean, he's good.
And it's just your upkeep, right? Like if I was going to draw on my opponent's turn?
Yeah, it's just the first card you draw on each of your turns.
Okay,
so even if for whatever reason you're skipping your draw step, but you draw a card later for whatever reason,
okay,
then he'll still kick in.
Okay, nice.
So he doesn't care when you draw it, just that it's the first card you draw during your turn.
Yeah.
Or if you somehow draw during your upkeep.
Yes.
Then that would be the one.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
The other oddball, the first of the 10 minor gods, the only minor god with an activated ability is Farika, God of Affliction.
Yeah.
Who I think is super neat. I play black-green. I think she fits right into black-green decks.
Yeah, she seems like she's very flavorfully built.
So she's black-green, colon, XL
target. That's what my last boyfriend said.
You were flavorfully built?
Yep.
That's weird. That's a weird compliment.
I'm not even sure it's a compliment.
Yeah.
How was she, man? Let's just say flavorfully built.
What does that mean?
It means there were spice packets involved.
Or giant snakes wrapped around her shoulders.
Yeah, sure, one or the other.
One of the two.
One or the other.
So Farika is black-green as her activation cost. Exile target creature card from a graveyard. Its owner puts a 1/1 black and green snake enchantment creature token with death touch onto the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard people say some pretty unflattering things because they don't want to reward their opponents with snakes when they exile their opponent's cards. Mm-hmm. But Wizards could have printed this without the ability to exile your opponent's cards.
Yes.
Like, apparently, Mark Rosewater said that their original version was just only each row in graveyard makes some enchantment snakes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was pretty good, and they decided to make it a little bit better by giving you the ability to sometimes remove your opponent's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're giving them a 1/1 death touch snake. And people say this compares unfavorably to a couple cards in the past that do similar things. But these snakes have death touch. There's never been anything that eats graveyards to make death touch creatures, which are really, really good
that
at killing your opponent's attackers.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like if you come back from the dead, if you touch somebody,
you're going to
probably
kill them.
I feel like they're going to die.
Yep.
And the other side is, we were talking about Constellation. She makes enchantment tokens, which is going to trigger Constellation very, very regularly, which is pretty good.
That seems pretty good.
Yeah.
And she's 3 mana.
Yes. What a bargain.
Yes, 3 mana for a 5/5.
I played someone yesterday who had Farika and then had that spider,
Nyxweaver?
Yes, Nyxweaver. The 1 black-green 2/3 reach spider, and then during your upkeep you put the top 2 cards of your library
you
into your graveyard.
Yes.
And it's just like, that seems pretty good.
Seems like you're gonna keep going
seems
forever.
Pretty
with
good.
That.
Death touch for days.
Yes.
Yes.
It seems like in a green-black deck, there's stuff in your graveyard.
Yeah,
very good, Ben.
I wasn't sure until this set came out. But it seems like they want me to put stuff in my graveyard. Am I wrong?
Nemesis Immortals, I wasn't sure. Like, I wasn't super sure.
Don't be too hasty.
And Grave Robber Spider?
Grave Robber Spider was like...
I was like, I don't know. Do they?
I don't know.
They're kind of playing around with it, you guys. I feel like they're teasing me.
And then, March of the Return, I was like, I feel like this is a sign, but I'm not sure that Wizard still likes me.
Exactly.
But now I'm sure. Thank you, Nyxweaver.
Yes. So, I felt like playing against her, I was like, that's pretty good. Even though she was never going to get turned on. Because he was... Because
she was too flavorfully built?
Yeah. Wait, are you talking about your opponent?
Because she's
are you
too
talking about
flavorfully
your
built. Yeah.
Megan's goal in any game of Magic is not to win, but to turn on her opponent. Megan questioned, how do you know?
How do you know?
If you've accomplished your goal.
You just know.
A lady knows.
Yeah, you know. You know by the number of gods that are alive on the battlefield. That's not a euphemism.
That is the worst euphemism!
It's not one. I'm just saying it's not one.
Okay, good. Okay. Good.
Anyways, she was really good, even though she wasn't a creature.
Yeah. Because she makes it on an extreme of death touch.
Exactly.
That's really the question you have to ask yourself is, if you don't think that you're going to activate your god, is your god worth it?
If you're not going to turn it on.
If you're not going to turn on your god.
Is it worth it?
God.
It's worth it because she makes creatures, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what makes her so good.
Exactly. What other gods are there?
There's Athreos.
Athreos.
Oh, yeah.
Athreos is... really, really, really good. Similarly, Athreos is a 5 power for black, white, and 1. With the normal, you need 7 devotion. Yeah. You do not, like, that seems really awesome. Aetherios' abilities are what's important. Or single ability. Whenever another creature you own dies, return it to your hand unless target opponent pays 3 life.
That's insane. It's, sorry.
Yeah, that's bonkers.
Yes, it's bonkers good. The couple of things to note is it doesn't matter whose side it dies on. If they take your creature and then it dies on their side, you still get a trigger.
Because it says you own.
Yes, mm-hmm. It only cares about creatures you own. If you take their creature and it dies, Aetherius won't trigger. So okay. You don't get to give their creatures back with the Aetherius effect. Mm.
Gotcha.
The other thing is that Aetherios targets. So there is...
It targets an opponent. Yeah, you get to choose an opponent.
So when you look at Aegis of the Gods, who's a 2/1 enchantment creature, human soldier that says you have hexproof. Oh. If they have Aegis of the Gods out and you have Aetherios, Aetherios requires you to target them with the trigger from Aetherios.
Mm. Oh.
And so Aetherios won't be able to return creatures because they can't be targeted.
Wow. So you guys, now you know you have a sideboarding plan. If
against Aetherios?
Against Aetherios.
Yeah, just play that rare card.
Well, it's
wait, is Aegis of the Gods isn't a rare?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Oh, he's part of the rare enchantment creature cycle. What's a lot more likely is I'm seeing people wanting to play Aetherios in Modern.
Yeah.
In like Malerapod decks and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your opponents can play Leyline of Sanctity.
That seems really good.
It's really, really good.
That seems
and,
really good.
But Leyline of Sanctity turns off the Aetherios effect.
Because it gives you hexproof.
Gotcha.
And so you could, that's a perfectly reasonable and legitimate sideboarding plan against Aetherios, is to just...
Because how else are you going to do it?
Well, the answer is just, like, deicide their guy or something.
Yeah.
It's not as if we were given some sort of card to help us deal with this situation.
It specifically just kills gods, yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Speaking of deicide...
Do you want to talk about it?
I just want to say that when I was looking through the spoiler initially, like at 1 a.m, like when it was all officially spoiled, mm-hmm. and I was scrolling down on my phone, I was like, did they spell decide wrong?
It does look like that.
Decide?
Decide.
And then the flavor text is, it is done. So it's like, Elspeth has made this decision.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like, decide is not a word I have come across in my life up until this point.
Agreed.
So.
It is done, anyway. Says Elspeth. Decide.
Yes.
Decide. Are there any other individual cards, maybe like 1 or 2 more that are 1 to 3 more that you think you want to mention?
I really did want to talk about Disciple of Deceit.
Okay.
Because this is something that's going to come up in Standard, actually, with Disciple of Deceit. Disciple of Deceit's a 1/3 human rogue for blue-black with Inspired. Whenever Disciple of Deceit becomes untapped, you may discard a non-land card. If you do, search your library for a card with the same converted mana cost as that card, reveal it, and put it in your hand. Then shuffle your library. So the split cards are a thing in Standard right now. People are playing, I don't even know what they're actively playing. Toil and Trouble.
Yeah, Toil and Trouble. What's the green-red one? The cruel one?
Assault.
Flesh and Blood.
Flesh and Blood,
Stamp and Tramp.
Yeah. and so...
Otherwise known as Tramp Stamp.
Tramp and Stamp would be the best split card. Gives one... Everybody trample is one side. The other side copies one of their creature, much like a stamp.
Thank you.
Have to be in the other order for it to be really effective, because if you want to give that creature trample, it has to be out before.
Anyways.
So Disciple of Deceit, when you discard a split card to Disciple of Deceit, split cards have, when they're in any zone but the stack, 2 sets of characteristics.
Okay.
They have...
Ben is already done.
they have both their names, both their converted mana costs. And so if you discarded Flesh and Blood, which is both 2 mana and 5 mana, you look through your library and you'll find a card that matches either one of those characteristics.
Oh.
You're looking for, did you match a 2? Did you match a 5?
Oh, so you could do either one.
Yeah, you could do either one, and so you could.
Could you only cast the 1/2?
No, because it goes into your hand.
Yeah, Disciple of Deceit finds it to your hand. It doesn't
Got it.
And you
it.
Don't even have to decide then when you discard.
Yeah, you get to go through your library and say, do you match a 2? Do you match a 5? And the flip side is if you discard a 2 or a 5. So if you discard Mana Leak or Tidebinder Mage, If you discard Tidebinder Mage to your Disciple of Deceit and go through your library, you could find Flesh and Blood because one of the sides matches.
Okay.
And how many colors are you playing?
Well, I mean,
in that instance, all of them.
Well, you're probably playing Mana Confluence, and you're playing,
Yeah.
And so this is all based on the idea that the Fuse card has two converted mana costs at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, does like the commutative property apply? So if I have Alive and Well, that has 4/1 in my deck, and then I also have Armed and Dangerous, which is 4/2, can I discard a one mana card and say, well, that's the same as Alive and Well, and Alive and Well is the same as Armed and Dangerous, therefore,
well,
I can get this mana leak.
You could do it. You could do it. Chain it one step at a time.
Like, then you have to could go through
each operation of the process.
Oh. Okay. I'm just trying to disprove math using magic rules.
I also wanted
sounds
to
like a thesis.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention with Disciple of Deceit, if you discard a zero cost non-land card to it,
mm-hmm.
Like Chrome Mox, you can find a land card. Because Disciple of Deceit, when you're searching for a card, doesn't care what you search for. It says any card.
Oh,
that it matches the converted
mana
cost.
So this would also be something that had X.
Yeah, X is always zero at the time that you discard. So if you have, if you discard,
I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, no, I'm not
brainy. Engineered Explosives.
Yeah, Engineered Explosives has a cost of just X, or Astral Cornucopia, which was just in War of the Gods. If you discard Astral Cornucopia to Disciple of Deceit, you'll be able to find a land.
That's weird.
Does Disciple of Deceit say non-land card?
Yeah, it says discard a non-land card.
So you can't discard a land card to find Astral Cornucopia.
Yes.
But you could go the other way.
Yes.
Interesting. So would an X always be like a zero then?
Yeah.
Like, so I would discard a three casting cost card to find like a Sphinx's Revelation.
Yes.
Okay.
X is always zero unless it's a spell on the stack.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, for when you're figuring out converted mana cost.
That's why it's relevant when you copy something.
Yeah, like if you were to copy, if I made a copy of a Colonian Hydra, it's just going to die.
Yeah, exactly. If you clone a Colonian Hydra on the battlefield, you're going to get a 0/0.
Rough.
Right.
Yeah, not that great.
No.
Talked about Battlefield Thaumaturge. Would you rather talk about something interesting rules-wise, or would you rather talk my biggest flavor fail of the set?
Ooh.
I want to hear about the biggest flavor fail. Wait, what was the other option?
I've got another interesting rules-wise one. Dacra Mystic is interesting, but...
Oh. Yeah, let's hear about it.
So Dacra Mystic is a super oddball. It's single blue for a 1/1 Merfolk.
Mm. Oh, this is the card that's basically, the Matrix.
Yes.
Looks like the Matrix picture.
Yes.
Red pill, blue pill.
Well, black pearl, blue pearl. But yes.
Take the blue pearl.
So also, she was in yearbook in high school, so
yes.
That was weird too.
So Dacra Mystic is blue and tap. Each player reveals the top card of his or her library.
Oh, yeah.
You may then put the revealed cards into their owner's graveyards.
Mm.
If you don't, each player draws a card. So you have a couple decisions to make. Everybody reveals, and then you decide, do we want to all mill these? And if we don't, then we're all going to draw.
Do you think this is a good card, Judge Rob?
It's a weird card. I think that it...
Cop out.
It is a cop out. I'm not going to... So Dacra Mystic is, I think, really interesting. I don't think it's very powerful in Standard, especially. And if you have lots of ways to already look at their top cards, you know in advance what you should be doing with their cards.
Yeah.
It can be very good. It doesn't let you actually control what they're drawing in the future because it gives them a bonus card for activating it.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
The flip side is you get to draw cards for blue and tap.
Yeah.
So if you see a bad card for them and a good card for you, well, you're plus a good card and they're, plus a basic swamp or something.
Nice. Very nice.
But it's, yeah. And the reason I mentioned it is because the decision is only a single decision. Either both players draw or both players mill.
Okay.
Mm.
Our fates are linked together by the thread that is... Dacra Mystic.
Is that the flavor text?
No. Its flavor text is choices are rarely as simple as they seem.
Oh, come on, flavor text.
Ben needs to be hired as Wizard's next flavor text writer.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm available.
My biggest flavor fail is King Makar the Gold Cursed.
Oh,
I know what you're going to say.
Yes. There's two problems with this guy.
Okay. Problem one.
Problem one is he's optional. King Midas didn't have the option between not turning things
yeah.
to gold. Everything
yeah.
he touched turned to gold.
I think that would be really cool if like you ate all their stuff and then you had to start eating
yes.
your own stuff.
And then eventually he turned himself into gold. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing is he can target himself.
Oh.
I want to read his text here. Whenever King, he's inspired. Whenever King Makar, the gold curse, becomes untapped, you may exile target creature. So he can target himself. He can turn himself to gold.
Mm.
If you do put a colorless artifact token named gold onto the battlefield, it has sacrificed this artifact at one mana of any
tokens.
Color of your mana pool.
Yes.
Maria's in love with gold tokens.
It's a good token. It's very frustrating because he should just be arbitrarily turning things into gold.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be optional, and he shouldn't be able to turn himself into gold.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
No, that's fair. I agree.
He's Midas, and it, the frustrating part is he's almost perfect, but not quite.
Yeah.
Like, that would
it's
so
pretty
cool.
neat. It's a pretty neat thing.
Like, you're like, I want to keep attacking, but I can't because he's just going to start turning my stuff into gold. Like,
yes.
that would be so cool.
Yeah,
yes.
like, oh, I can't attack. Crap.
The flip side is he looks pretty powerful, actually, because he's a 2-2 for, or he's a 2-3 for black, and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, he exiles their guys, and he gives you gold for it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a pretty sweet ability.
Mm-hmm.
They made him more powerful in order to make him more fun to play, I think.
Yeah.
That makes him less like King Midas.
His shorts also make him look like a boxer.
He's wearing shorts?
It looks like
yeah,
he's wearing
maybe
shorts.
Maybe a robe. I'm not sure.
Shorts! He's
I'm
wearing cargo
sure.
pants?
It looks like he's wearing boxer shorts.
Oh, okay. Underwears. King Midas just is wearing his underwears.
Also, he's petting his cat.
And he has a statue of his daughter behind him, which is actually his daughter that he just turned into a statue, it looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, Midas.
Oh, and he just looks stressed out.
Wouldn't you be stressed out?
He's got so much gold. Money solves everything.
Someone needs to read Ben a bedtime story about King Midas.
I have been asking to be read to you for a long time.
Oh, God.
Oh, and I wanted to do a quick drive-by on Worst Fears, which you guys mentioned mentioned in a previous one. It's it's basically the card Mindslaver as a one-shot black spell.
Mm-hmm.
One interesting thing about Worst Fears that you may or may not know, when you take control of somebody's turn, you get to look at their sideboard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Megan
was unaware.
Yes.
Now knows.
So especially if you take control of them in sealed deck or draft, you just get to pick up their sideboard and look at it while you're controlling them because you get access to all of the information that they have access to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're gonna know their like deepest darkest secret they have in their brain.
Well, wow. That's what brain maggots is for. But yes.
Ooh, nice.
It's not like super insanely powerful and limited.
No.
Because usually your good cards are in your deck, but they might know what options you have to sideboard in against their stuff.
Yeah.
And if you think your opponent's probably just going to kill you because they're controlling your turn, you might just concede.
Yeah. To not
question.
Get information.
Am I going to be able to look at their sideboard though online?
That's a good question. I don't know how Magic Online handles
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Probably
it
not.
Should in theory. Well, because the thing is, the thing is that it has to like. Part of the reason to let you look at their sideboard is, have you ever seen the Wishes?
Yes.
No.
Like, so the Wishes are a cycle of cards from Judgment that they are, when you cast this, you get to go into your sideboard and take a card and put it in your hand.
Yeah.
And so like Burning Wishes is choose a sorcery you control from outside the game and put it in your hand. And so in tournaments, you have to go into your sideboard. So if I Worst Fears you and want to cast your Burning Wish, I need to be able to look at your sideboard to see what I can wish for, right?
Wow.
And
sure.
That's part of the reason for the way that Mindslaver and Worst Fears and Soren Markov's Ultimate work, which are all the same thing basically.
Right.
And so, in theory, it should work right on Magic Online. I don't know, especially because the Wishes, when you're in casual games, let you look through a person's collection to find a card.
On Magic Online, did
yes.
you?
If you're in a
seems real personal.
It's, yeah, exactly. And so I'm not sure what the interface would look like for it.
Yeah, that sounds insane. That's my mission.
Your mission is to cast worst fears at somebody in a casual game.
Actually, here's my mission. My goal is to worst fear someone while they have a worst fears in their hand, and then cast that worst fears targeting themselves, so they'll control their own turn.
During their next turn.
Yep.
Perfect.
Exciting.
Perfect. Yes.
If you do that, they still get to control that, right?
Yes.
Yes.
They would control. Okay. Well, because they control their next turn.
Right.
So yes.
That's guys. If I do that, will you read me a bedtime story?
I'll give you $5.
I want to be read to in a hot tub.
It's going to be Dr. Seuss's The Sleep Book. All right, you guys, coming up in a few weeks is GP Minneapolis, the town from which we all hail.
Yep, we're all from here.
Hail!
It's true.
Hail Hydra, we're from Minneapolis. And Judge Rob, you're like one of the head judge dudes at this tournament.
Yes, though I'm not actually judging at this. I work for Legion Events, which is the premier tournament organizer for Minnesota, Wisconsin, and various places. The way that Grand Prix work is Wizards assigns a location to a tournament organizer.
Mm-hmm.
And so generally Legion gets Minnesota, Wisconsin, some parts of Texas, Kansas, Oklahoma, are the ones that we've done in the past.
The Dakotas? Do you guys get the Dakotas?
We've never held a Grand Prix in the Dakotas.
Do you guys get the moon? Wow. Do you get the moon?
There is never going to be a Grand Prix.
Well, there was a Grand Prix in Nebraska a couple of years back. So,
all right.
I want to play Magic on top of Mount Rushmore.
That would actually be pretty awesome.
Okay, you guys, I would go to Grand Prix Mount
GP
Rushmore.
GP Lincoln's nose.
Oh.
Awesome.
And so, I work for Legion Events, and I actually just started reasonably recently working full-time for Steve Port, who runs Legion.
Mm.
And I'm actually one of the ops people and I'm one of the chief tournament organizer people for.
So you made this shit happen.
Yes. I actually built the side event schedule that we're looking at right in front of us right now.
Oh, you did.
And it is pretty cool.
I'm managing the registrations for the event, and I am answering all the customer service questions and doing things like ordering tablecloths and, you know, there's a whole bunch of behind the scenes things.
Did you think about color coordination of those tablecloths?
Yes, they're all red.
Ooh.
Oh. Right.
Well, okay. It's not true that they're all red. The ones that we're using for our ops are all red. Then we have some black ones for like the artists and stuff. But
nice. Yeah,
like we have a plan.
Yeah.
Or
if you want to dress up like a shade. Just put that black tablecloth on.
Yes. Ish. So there's a lot of planning and a lot of prep work that goes into a Grand Prix. We're looking at, it's hard to tell how many people are going to be at Grand Prix Minneapolis at this point.
Like a million?
Probably 2 million.
Between 1 million and 2 million?
Between 1,400 and 1,700 is our
Whoa,
best guess.
Whoa, that's pretty good.
Yes. Right now we have 268 people registered for the tournament. On the pre-registration. If you go to legionevents.com/GPMSP, you can see our site on it. And we have pre-registration available there. We just actually filled up all the slots for VIP. So if you wanted to be a VIP, unfortunately, it's too late.
But my mom says I'm an important person.
Well, what you can do is you can win one of these tournaments to get a VIP slot.
Oh, so my mom also says I'm a winner.
So, as this is a podcast for people who aren't top tier ultra competitive players.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. But Grand Prix are big tournaments. Grand Prix, like when I say 1,400 to 1,700 players, that's huge. Mm-hmm. That's an intimidatingly large amount of people,
It's more a number than you can imagine.
It's a lot of Magic players. And because the format is modern, especially people who haven't been playing Magic for a long time.
Yeah.
Modern goes all the way back to 8th edition in Mirrodin.
Mm-hmm.
And the format is big and it's expensive. Fetch lands are just bafflingly high priced now.
Mm-hmm.
Zendikar fetch lands. But the main tournament is not all that's happening at the Grand Prix. I mentioned side events. We have side events going on the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th. And we start side event signups at 2 p.m. on Friday, and we will run side events basically right up until about 3 hours before we are scheduled to close on Sunday.
So Friday, May 9th, show up at the convention center at 2 p.m.
Yes.
With all of your Magic cards and start playing.
Yes. We're covering a ton of different formats. The goal
you guys have great stuff here.
Yes. The goal is to make sure that there was a solid sealed event every day, a solid legacy event every day, a solid modern event every day, and then something else interesting.
Oh, so if you're into normal stuff,
yes,
we got stuff for you. And if you're into weird stuff,
yes,
we got stuff for you.
Check out the basement.
Check out Minneapolis.
Yes. So one of the most interesting ones on Friday, something that we're calling a format that players call Standard Sealed, which we end up getting into confusing nomenclature.
Yes. Sounds so, like a terrible hybrid. Yes,
it is a terrible hybrid. But it's really fun, is the flip side of it.
Never meant to be made!
Yes. So Standard Sealed events, you open a booster of every set that's currently in Standard. And so it'll be Journey into Nyx, Born of the Gods, Theros, M14, Return to Ravnica, Gatecrash, and Dragon's Maze.
Whoa.
And...
That's a lot of sets.
I cannot remember all the instants from those sets.
No. You get blown up by combat tricks in this format all the time, okay. Let me tell you. But you do get to see all sorts of interesting synergies. You get to put together, what's the name of that random white card that rewards you for enchantments in M14?
Which one is it?
Yeah, exactly. And there's all sorts of random cards that you get to plug together from these sets. Like, you get to play with all of the enchant lands from RTR and Gatecrash, and you get rewarded for playing them under Constellation.
This seems super cool.
It's super cool, and this is a VIP dinner Standard Sealed. So you play in the Standard Sealed, and if you win the Standard Sealed, you get two VIP slots. The VIP slots are, we sell them for an expensive price for the main tournament, and you get two VIP slots for the main event the next day. You get your entry into the main tournament for free as well. And then you get to go out to a steak dinner at Manny's, which is a ridiculously good, expensive steakhouse.
Why have I never gone to this place?
Because you don't want to spend $80 on your meal.
I would.
Well, you would.
Wow,
like,
Maria.
For a steak? Yeah. If it's good.
Yeah, it's preposterously good steak. Do you want dry-aged New York steak?
Yes.
Yes, you go to Manny's.
I suggest dating a dry-aged New Yorker.
The VIP dinner that you go out to is just the two people that get the VIP slots from this.
So it's you and your friend?
Yeah, you and your friend. Nice. Then you also, the head judge of the tournament, Toby Elliott, will be there. And the three artists that we have at this tournament, Marco Nilor, RK Post, and Tom Baxa, will all be there, as will the head tournament organizer, Steve Port. And you don't have to pay for your steak dinner, obviously. We're taking you out for one for free.
Do you get all the drinks included?
That is a good question.
I just think you got to figure this out, because someone's going
to explain
you.
I'm trying to calculate my EV here.
Well, so Steve's assumption... Dessert's covered. Steve's assumption is that you aren't going to do anything unreasonable.
I am.
I mean, the thing is that he's paying for $160 worth of dinner anyways for the two of you, plus all the other people. Yeah. So
okay, fine. And it's Brian Kibler,
Yes. Oh, and Brian Kibler, I forgot that he'd be along too. Yes. So Brian Kibler is also going along.
And Shiro.
They're gonna let Shiro in the steak restaurant.
No, Shiro! Sorry, we must have forgot to cook this one. No!
Don't cook Kribler's dog.
Were you just assuming that the dog would get cooked mistaken for a steak?
This sounds like a sitcom plot.
Do you know what a steak looks like?
Before
apparently
it's a,
not.
A cow does not look like a steak before it when it's a cow.
Follow-up question. Do you know what a dog looks like? I'm just not sure.
I don't want anything bad to happen to Shiro.
Okay. I think it is...
So very forward-looking of you. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you, Maria.
All right. So that sounds like a super fun format and a super fun prize.
Yes.
That's a double threat.
Yes. Yeah. We have a bunch of these. On Friday, we also have something I'm calling Larger Than Life Standard.
What?
Have you ever seen an 8-foot long playmat?
Is this where
playmat?
You have to listen to
Backstreet
Boys?
You've seen one of these?
I think at the PTQ that you guys hosted,
yes.
Someone
you gave
on
one away
one.
For
yeah.
ninth
Yes,
place.
For ninth place. The Bad Beats playmat.
Yes.
We're, in fact, for this, it's a standard tournament. The winner is going to get in addition to the normal booster prizes, an 8-foot playmat, and then we're going to raffle an additional one-off to the players in the tournament.
Raffle that!
Holy moly. And that's a normal standard event. So
yes,
you just show up with a standard deck.
Show up with a standard deck.
Okay.
If you want to play Legacy, we're going to give away an uncut sheet of Journey into Nyx on
man,
Friday as well.
I really want an uncut sheet.
An uncut sheet is the key to Maria's heart.
Oh,
we're giving
foil?
Away a total of 3 uncut sheets
is it
over the
foil?
Weekend. I would have to go look. I don't know. The problem is that I don't know exactly which sheets they're going to send us.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
And so we're going to give away a total of 3 uncut sheets over the weekend. There is an uncut sheet standard sealed on Sunday as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also we're raffling one away during, I believe, the standard super prep.
Okay. I'm pretty good at winning raffles, you guys, so.
Really?
Yes.
Congratulations.
What's your strategy?
Be lucky.
Nice. That's just solid advice, Maria. Thank you so much.
Oh, no. It's the Rebound Modern, I believe?
Oh.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, the Rebound Modern. So, as part of this, the GP being modern, we're trying to run a lot of modern events as signs.
Mm. Yeah.
When you...
Because you already got that deck.
Yeah, exactly. People have their modern decks, and they want to play them a bunch. So, if they wash out of the main event... There's a Rebound tournament that costs $15 on Saturday, where we're giving away... the Rebound Modern is giving away a foil factory set of Journey into Nyx to first place, a non-foil factory set of Journey into Nyx for second place, and we're also raffling away an uncut sheet of Journey into Nyx as part of that tournament.
Nice.
And so that tournament is $15 if you just want to play in it, or else you get $5 off, so it's only $10 if you were entered into the main event.
Mm.
Wow.
So cool. What we're saying is there's lots of cool stuff to do at a GP besides enter the main event.
Yes.
Because I don't play modern. I think I'm probably just going to play side events.
Yes.
And so you've given me a lot of options, so thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to this Mini Masters flights.
Yes.
That are on Friday at 2 p.m.
Yes, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. If you have entered into the main event, you get free entry into a Mini Masters event.
Sweet.
If I didn't?
If you didn't, we are going to make Mini Masters available. I have to figure out what the pricing on that is. I've done all my math based on it being...
It should be under $100.
Yes, it's gonna be fairly cheap. They're 32-man flights.
Okay.
I'll have a number worked up, and I'll send it to you guys probably... Mistakes. I have to talk with Steve about it.
And so you get you play with just one pack.
Yeah. So
like
what
pack
happens?
Wars.
Yes, it's exactly like Pack Wars. In fact, you get given a booster pack.
Mm-hmm.
You have to build a 30-card deck out of that booster pack and any number of lands in the first round. It's a.
Oh, so
it's
I get to look at my cards.
Yes,
for
you
this
get to look.
At,
yes, and you get
That's
to
weird.
You're gonna play. You're gonna play a single game match, and then the winner of that match goes on to the next round. It's single elimination.
Okay.
And when you go to the second round, you get handed a second booster. To add to your deck and rebuild.
I'm never going to know what lands to put in there.
This sounds amazing.
It sounds like the best experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the best experience of my life.
It's a 32-man single elimination flight. And every 32 players we're going to fire, it's going to play a total of 5 rounds. If you win, you're going to get your entry fee to the Grand Prix for free.
Yes.
If you have buys, you're going to get a sleep-in special for free.
Yes.
And you'll get 6 boosters for winning. The second place person will get 3 boosters. But know that you'll already have won some boosters from having won each round.
Wow.
As well.
Sweet.
That is pretty cool. That sounds pretty darn cool.
That is sweet meats.
Like I mentioned, we're having sealed decks on every day. There's a 2-headed sealed on Saturday. That's happening at 6 at 6 in the evening. And on Sunday, the event that I want to play, Team Trios is one of my favorite formats. I don't get the chance to play it because I'm going to be busy all weekend. But we're doing Team Trios, where a 3-person team, like the 3 of you, get together and you get handed a sealed pool to build with.
Oh.
And you build a sealed pool, and then you play your team against their team, your A seed against their A seed, your B seed against their B seed, and your C seed against their C seed. And each seed plays a best 2 out of 3, and the record for the whole team determines the record for the match.
Sweet.
So I phrased that badly. The record of each match determines. So there's 3 matches, and so you could win. You could win 2-1 or 3-0, or you could conceivably draw, which happens and is always sad.
You could go like 1-1-1 if one of the matches drew with the time or for whatever reason. Okay.
And this is the only RTR block sealed that we're doing over the whole weekend. We're actually using pre-release packs You're going to get 3 pre-release packs. There's going to be no guild overlap. We're going to package them up and hand them to you, though, because we can't guarantee exact selection because we only have a limited amount of them. But we'll guarantee that you won't get the same guild between the packs. And you'll get to play your pre-release foils from the RTR pre-release packs.
Cool.
RTR Gatecrash and Dragon's Mix.
Hypersonic Dragon, here I come. Yes.
And
Rakdos something.
And so then this is also the only event that is prizing in RTR block over the weekend because we only have a limited amount of RTR.
So the prizes are boosters?
Yeah, they're boosters. Okay. Yeah, cool. The prizes for all these by default are boosters and then bonus prizes on top of stuff like the larger than life standard that I talked about that gives away those giant playmats.
Yeah.
Gives out boosters and the playmats.
Yay.
And so this is the only thing giving out Return to Ravnica block as prizes. But it has a pretty good prize breakdown, I think. We're actually giving away a bunch of RTR.
So other GP organizers out there, if you're listening, take note.
Time to up your game.
With some sweet side events.
Yes, side events. In general, side events see pretty close to as many people as the main event for a lot of Grand Prix.
Really? Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think that they're one of the most important bits of a Grand Prix because let's say that you don't like Modern or you don't have a Modern deck and you want to come and hang out and play Magic with 1,700 players.
Yeah,
I do.
Yes,
you can.
And yes, it's essentially just conventions for Magic with a big main event and a whole bunch of
except
spin-offs.
I'm not dressed as the 11th Doctor.
You could be if you want to come
totally
and cosplay.
I don't want to sit in that short skirt all day.
The 11th Doctor didn't wear a skirt.
I do.
So it really sounds like there's something here for everyone. If you're super competitive, you've been playing forever, you've got legacy events where you can win all kinds of sweet rare cards, duels, and all
Comic
that stuff.
Con Planeswalkers.
Oh my god!
Those we're giving away a set of those in a legacy event on Sunday.
And if you're super new and you don't own a single Magic card, then you can always come and play in the Mini Masters event,
Mini Masters
do a sealed deck.
Yep.
Or do, like, you can even do the fun standard sealed format, which no one's going to know what's going on.
Exactly. Where you just get to build the deck that you think is going to be the most fun. And if you wash out of the main event and you want to come back on Sunday, there are the Super Sunday Series events. Mm-hmm. These events it's a standard and a sealed deck that start roughly the same time. The standard starts at 10 a.m. The sealed deck starts at 9 a.m.
I'm there.
Yes. And they feed to a single unified top 8, basically. The top 4 of each of these events cut to a draft. And the winner of that draft gets a whole bunch of sweet swag. So you get invited to the Wizards of the Coast $20,000 Invitational for the Super Sunday Invitational, which includes a tour of Wizards.
Ooh.
And if you win first place coming out of that draft, you're going to win either 3 boxes or $250, your choice. You're going to get a messenger bag, and the invitation includes travel for the trip to the...
I would like to take a train.
Okay.
I think they offer flight, actually. I mean, you might be able to talk them into a train.
No, I want to take a train. I want it to be like in the olden days when you sleep a car, and you go out and you have your tea, and then somebody gets murdered, and you solve the murder.
I don't think Wizards, for legal reasons, can guarantee a murder.
Yeah, they can't guarantee a murder on a train.
Oh, well,
maybe we can run a tournament on a train.
Ooh.
Oh! Grand Prix train!
That would be really awkward.
Grand Prix train!
I think that would be the best way to have a Grand Prix in North Dakota, is just if you're slowly moving across North Dakota.
I love this idea so much. Oh, wait, my lamp just fell off my table.
Listen, we might need to scale it back from a Grand Prix.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Grand Prix are a little big. Like
PTQ train.
Yeah, PTQ train.
PTQ train.
That would be amazing.
I would play in that event, yes.
GP Lincoln's nose followed the next month by PTQ train.
And then... finally, Pro Tour Trampoline.
Pro Tour Trampoline. Can it be Pro Tour Bouncy Castle?
Oh!
Yes!
Yes.
Seems far superior.
Edit.
Wow.
Edit.
Love it. Love it.
All of the camera footage from that is going to look like Blair Witch Project.
Well, no. You don't carry... You have boom cameras that are above the Bouncy Castle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Everyone's wearing a GoPro attached to their head.
Doing. Oh.
Anyway,
it's very expensive.
We'll figure it out.
And so there's a ton of side events. We're giving away a bunch of stuff. The show up, hang out at the Grand Prix, even if you just show up to trade, you show up to play casual. There's 8-man tournaments that fire all the time, basically. There's pickup events. You can play 8-player standard, modern, legacy, draft, something called...
Can I play a modern Masters draft?
We do not have enough Modern Masters product to do Modern Masters drafts, unfortunately.
It's okay, Maria. It's okay, Maria.
The Modern Masters... Modern Masters is so expensive right now that if you're buying it from a store, you're buying it at least $20 a booster.
What?
That's what we're selling it at.
Why did I open my pass?
Because you wanted to draft that, Maria.
You guys, I saw Maria just open a pack of Modern Masters once.
I did.
It's like $450 a box now or something. It is just astronomical.
That's insane.
And so, like, I'm kind of actually baffled at Richmond. If you guys looked at the Richmond payouts, they just layered Modern Masters on top of almost every prize payout.
Whoa.
Just handed out a couple Modern Masters boosters to the top couple finishers in almost every event.
Wow.
And
swag.
I was just flabbergasted. They gave away so much Modern Masters at GP Richmond.
Wow.
And we just don't have enough to do
that.
That's
why all those people's pants were down. They just blew the pants right off them.
Pretty much. And yeah, we just don't have enough Modern Masters to run Modern Masters tournaments as part of our totally sides, unfortunately.
We forgive you.
You're forgiven.
Totally we fair. Forgive you.
But if you guys want to come and hang out and chat, come hit me up at the Grand Prix. We'll chat about stuff at the tournament over the weekend.
Cool.
Nice.
Awesome. And there's all sorts of stuff going on. As I mentioned, we have three great artists in. Tom Baxa did the playmat for Grand Prix Minneapolis.
Okay.
I believe I sent you guys a link to that to put in the show notes.
Yes. Just go to magicthamateuring.com and we'll have all these notes throughout the show that Rob has provided for us.
Follow us at MTAcast and we'll tweet them into your eyes, sockets.
Straight in.
And yes. As I mentioned, there's three great artists. Tom Baxa did the playmat. RK Post goes to everything. This is Marco Nilor's first GP that he's doing.
We got him. Ooh,
yes.
First comment.
Yes. And he's done a lot of really, really great stuff. He hasn't done a lot of super headliner cards recently.
Okay.
But if you remember Skinbrand Goblin, which might be the cutest card from Gatecrash.
I remember that guy.
Yes. That's Marco Nilor. And he also did the Tangle Wire from Thunderbolt 20.
Nice.
Yes. And so I'm excited to get him up here. RK and Tom are old pros. They've been doing this for a long, long time. And I love to see them at events. And I like to have a good mix of these
Get your plane tickets, guys. This GP sounds like it's going to rock.
Yes.
It'd be pretty cool,
2 weeks.
Guys.
If you need somewhere to stay, remember, Megan and I put Ben's address on the internet.
Yeah, just go to magicthamateuring.com.
/Ben's address.
And I have a porch. I got a porch, so you don't even need a key.
You know what I forgot to mention? I forgot to mention Planes Talkers.
What now?
I assume that we all like talking, right?
Are they putting like those greeting card chips in cards now so your planeswalker can talk to you?
That would be actually kind of disconcerting.
Draw some cards, I'm Jace.
So Adrian Sullivan has put together something called Planes Talkers, which is happening on the Friday night before the Grand Prix.
Mm.
Huh.
And what he's doing is he's getting some people together in a room to talk about, in this case, Modern, because the format for the GP is Modern.
Yeah.
He has himself, Brian Kibler, Craig Wesko, who's a Pro Tour champion, Toby Elliott, who's the head judge of the tournament, Sean McLaren, who is the champion of Pro Tour Born of the Gods as well. And
nice.
So the group of them are doing a panel. What time do we have that set at? Did I not post the time on this?
Good thing you're on this show.
Get that on.
We are keeping you honest, Judge Rob.
Yes. It is going to be in the evening, the Friday before the Grand Prix. I'm going to make sure that our Planeswalker site has that information. I'll get that corrected tonight. And so Adrian's running this panel, and it's going to be great. They're going to talk about Modern. They're going to talk about the stuff to look out for in Modern, the things that Modern events are going on.
Okay, cool.
And they'll be streaming this on Twitch as well. And then questions will be taken both from the live audience there and from Twitter.
Sweet.
So I'm going to text the question, who do you think you are?
He thinks he's Adrian Sullivan.
I'm pretty sure. Obviously. I hope that he knows he's Adrian Sullivan if he is.
So if you want to brush up on your modern strategy, yes, this might be a good session to catch, either in person or on the video screen.
And this is the, and this is the first of us of a series of these that are going to kick off at future Grand Prix.
Oh, very
nice. So I believe that there are ones lined up for Atlanta and Chicago for sure.
Okay.
But I don't know the exact format and structure of those yet.
So this is called Planes Talkers. Yes. I just want people to know that I am starting a panel at this GP called Plane Stalkers. Mm. And that is for if you are really kind of unattractive but not ugly and you like to stalk people. Plane
that stalkers. Sounds very...
Like people who are dressed as the 11th Doctor? Or...
Yes. Plane Stalkers.
Plane Stalkers.
Yes. Nice. So attend that.
Nice. Or if you feel that you are a stalker at heart, but you have always dressed too flamboyantly or too brightly colored to be a good stalker, this is where you can learn some ways to dress down those colors to be a better stalker.
I do have the time posted on here. I just missed it on the page. It is Friday, May 9th at 8 p.m. Central Time.
Great.
Very nice.
Oh, cool. And I am not doing anything.
Well, now you are.
Now I am.
You could have been playing in a side event.
You could be winning that steak dinner.
Mm. Yeah, you could be winning the steak dinner, or you could be competing in the foiled again and get old FNM foils.
Oh, that's true. So many choices.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
There are a lot of choices.
Well, I'll be there for sure. Listeners, if you see me, feel free to say hi, or if you hear my voice, feel free to turn around and be like, who said that?
I will be there as well. If you hear my voice, feel free to give me a high five.
Mm.
I'm going to be attending a wedding of some friends in Houston.
But if you're at that wedding.
But if you're at the wedding, say hi to me. I'll probably be at the Mini Masters on Friday.
Okay.
My plane doesn't leave until like Friday night sometime. I'll go do some Mini Masters.
Yeah, and we'll also have some stickers and everything to hand out to listeners. So if you want a sticker, hit us up.
And I believe that there is a meat hall table.
Yes, meat hall. The meatery will have a table.
The meatery is going to have a table. Yep.
So one of the places you can catch our podcast is on themeatery.org. So they're going to have a table there. And you can stop by and hang out and chat up Ian Anderson.
Yes.
The guy who started this. A Magic the Gathering social network.
Yeah, ma'am.
Yeah.
You guys, PTQ train qualifies you for PT submarine. That's how it works.
That's how it works.
No, I decided.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We going to run a Grand Prix aircraft carrier? Is that the next step?
Oh, yes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Is that like one of those big ships that they put planes on?
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes is the answer.
And this is all leading up to World Championship International Space Station.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You guys, I bet that we don't have any listeners who have ever been in space.
There is certainly no way there we are listeners certainly. Who are left-handed cops who have been on a submarine and are orphans who are in space.
That is correct.
For sure. For sure.
If Not you have been likely. In space and you listen to our podcast, tweet us at MTAcast.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know.
Thank you so much, Judge Rob, for coming on our
Anytime.
Show this week.
Yeah.
Giving us a lowdown on Journey into Nyx and Grand Prix Minneapolis.
Yes.
Pretty awesome. Pretty
knowledgeable, awesome. As always. Mm-hmm. A gentleman, as usual.
Mm. He bowed so many times.
Yes.
Before
mostly
the podcast started.
Mostly because I'm, you know, a little out of it and weaving around because of the Percocet.
You may have been hunching over in pain. I'm not sure.
He also thought that he saw the Queen of England here.
Well, she did.
She was on her way out.
Yeah.
Oh, that really was?
Yeah.
I saw some things. I said some things I shouldn't have said.
She has no dominion over you. You don't have to worry.
Oh, okay, good.
So, Rob, if people want to get in touch with you or ask you a question, how can they contact you?
If they want to ask me a question about the Grand Prix or about judging in general, robert@gmail.com is my email address. If you have a contact for me about something related to Legion Events, rob@legionevents.com is my work email. So they can contact me through either one of those.
Very cool. Thank you.
So, all right.
Yeah. Well, thank you again so
much.
You're
welcome.
And thank you, listener, for listening, because that's what you just did. Remember to check out our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, mtgcast.com, magiktheamateuring.com, and themeatery.org.
Tweet at us at mtacast or send us an email.
A meme-mail.
At magiktheamateuring@gmail.com.
Until next time. Go blow it out your hole.
Bye. By which we mean...
strive harder.
Strive harder.